And we greet you on another beautiful day as we come together in this Easter season, preparing for the coming of Pentecost, a 50-day season of Easter in the year of faith. And this has been such a beautiful blessing for us to share Catholic Radio, Catholic Media, to be part of your day, your morning routine, your afternoon routine, your closing of the day routine. Number one, to be part of your prayer life. That's what we really hope to become, is part of your prayer life, to encourage you to have that habit of daily prayer within your family, within your home, within your community, and that we can be part of that. The morning offering, the daily rosary, the chaplet of divine mercy, and the most important prayer of the day is the Mass, the Holy Eucharist, to celebrate the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the season of Easter, and during this time of the day, during our in-person series, it's a wonderful time for us to share with other men and women of faith, to share about their journey, to share about how the Lord is calling them within their vocation to live out, to know God, to love Him, and to live in Him, and to share Him with others. And this is the season where we have a great opportunity in the daily readings to hear the Acts of the Apostles. And it is always so much fun for me. I just love this time because it's so active. We get to see Peter, and we get to see the rest of the apostles thrown in jail, get persecuted, get criticized for their love of Jesus Christ, but they will not cow down. They will not say no to proclaiming Christ crucified. They must proclaim the name of Jesus. And you know, that name, proclaiming that name is so important. We're called by name. We're confirmed. We're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to share more about that sacramental life, how we, as we grow in faith, continue to move deeper and deeper in love with Jesus Christ, and we live it through the sacraments. And we have such a wonderful guest. It's been such a blessing to meet so many women of faith across the country and around the globe who have been called through their vocation to share their love of Jesus Christ. And Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, a wife, a mother of five, and she's become a Catholic author, speaker. She's been on EWTN. I had a great opportunity. I was watching the EWTN television streaming on the internet, and to watch a little bit of her Everyday Blessings for Catholics Moms. It's a new series that she's been able to produce through EWTN to really talk about the domestic church and really the life in the home. She became a lay missionary of charity many years ago with Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Had just a great opportunity to spend several years with Mother Teresa and her sisters doing some traveling and really to see the life of the church in through the example of service, as Mother Teresa is such an amazing witness of love. And for a period of time, now servant of God, Father John Hardin was her spiritual director. So she's really had an opportunity to be embraced by so many who love Christ and to have that example. Some of the books that we've talked about from Donna Marie are Mother Teresa and Me, Embracing Motherhood. And I love this one, The Domestic Church. She has a new book out called Rooted in Love, Our Calling as Catholic Women. And the one we're going to focus on today really focuses on this season of Easter, my confirmation book. And thanks to Paraclete Press for helping to publish this book. It's a beautiful hardcover book with the picture of the Holy Spirit on the front in the form of a dove, and really a way for us to help our young people in their transition to continue to grow deeper in their love of Jesus Christ. We'll go from Portland, Oregon, all the way over to the state of Connecticut today to visit with our friend Donna Marie. Donna Marie, welcome, and Easter blessings to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Dina Marie, and the same to you.
Wow, it's such a beautiful season. We had a little time to chat before the show began of just the amazement of living our life as Catholics, to see that the whole world's been watching in many right. different ways. The election of Pope Francis, of course, Pope Benedict, and his guidance of the Holy Spirit to say, you know, I need to step into retirement. I need to let the Holy Spirit take over in this papacy and to move forward. And with such humility that he made that step on February 11th, and right at the beginning of our Lenten season, I think Pope Benedict helped us to enter a very deep Lenten season.
Yes.
And now we are in the 50 days of Easter, so it feels like a real Catholic marathon, Donna Marie.
Yes, it certainly does, and yeah. I have no doubt that the Holy Spirit has led all of this to happen, especially, you know, beginning with Pope Benedict being attentive to the Holy Spirit and his life, and you know, bravely stepping down, and you know, at first we were saddened or shocked, and just momentarily, but then we had to realize it's the work of God, and then to be blessed with Pope Francis is just amazing, and learning each day the things that he's doing and the way he's shocking people, kind of, you know, with God's love.
It is so beautiful. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle with us, and we want to share about the book, My Confirmation Book. But, you know, we are also in the Year of Faith, and in many times in our Catholic history, our Holy Fathers have proclaimed a particular year, a year to focus on a particular virtue, a particular focus in our Catholic faith to really lead, I think, the faithful into a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ, most recently now, the Year of Faith, to learn about the catechism, to kind of hear and to read and to study more about what the church teaches, also our church documents, but then to evangelize. We hear so much, and I think you and I have shared a lot about the new evangelization, using the media, using different ways to talk about Christ, to share him with others. When you heard about the Year of Faith being proclaimed, and now we've been able since October to really live in the Year of Faith, a couple of highlights that have come up for you just in your own life, in your own ministry, in the books, in the programs, in the evangelization, that this has complemented God's call in your life.
Right. I didn't hear. Was this a question to me?
Yeah. How has the Year of Faith for you, Donna Marie, been part of your own daily life, in the ministry that you live, in the books that have been coming out, but somehow, right, I think the Year of Faith complements us living an active Catholic life.
Amen. That's right. For me, a lot of it is putting one foot in front of the other each day and walking in faith, and just, you know, beginning with the morning offering each day, firmly believing that giving our Lord in advance of my day all of my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings, and asking Him, you know, to unite it to Him, and asking the Blessed Mother to be with me and the angels and saints to pray for me and to walk forward in faith to do God's will, and starting right in the, you know, my domestic church, right in the heart of my vocation as a Catholic wife and mother of five on earth and three in heaven, you know, just to start right there. I think that's where we all have to start, right, in our walk of life, right, where God placed us. So we don't have to run off to Calcutta, as, you know, where Mother Teresa was mainly, you know, serving the poorest of the poor. We don't have to feel compelled to run to the other side of the world to do God's work, because He wants us to do it right where we are, right in our home, right in our seminary, right in the convent, right in the workplace, wherever we are. And that's where we live our faith, because we represent the church to so many people that might not, you know, have stepped into a church, or they might not know much about the church except for all the criticisms they hear in secular media, you know. So we are that representation of the church. And while we're walking in faith and living our faith, it really speaks volumes to those around us. It could be just some little thing you say, or just the way you live the virtues. And that, I firmly believe, and I write about this all the time, how that's so profound, and it really impacts people. And we might never know the effect it has on everyone, and we shouldn't be looking to find out. We shouldn't be trying to know everything. We should just trust God, walk in faith, and love, you know, with Christian love, and strive with all our hearts to get others to heaven. You know, that should be the reason for our existence, is to get, not only to get there ourselves, but we need to get everybody else there.
Yeah, do what we can to really souls for Christ. It always seems to be my motto, souls for Christ, souls for Christ. You have become so much involved in the media, in writing, whether that's on a blog, whether that's on another website, in the form of books and booklets and retreats, presenting something at a local parish or in a women's retreat. The use of the media, and maybe, Donna Marie, you can share a little bit about how you've seen, just in the last year, because there's been, there's been so much more emphasis, a continued emphasis on the use of media for Catholics, for us in the faith, to use the media to share our faith effectively and with charity. What are some things that you've been seeing that seem to be effective ways of using the media to share who the Church is, who she is, and what we believe?
Well, even our Holy Fathers have encouraged us, you know, Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict, to use the media and social media, too, to that's why I use social media. And pardon my voice, I'm getting over a long couple of week illness of a cold virus, so I'm so sorry about my voice. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
1 second. I'm so sorry. But yes, we need to use all the media that we can to evangelize, but not to the extent that we're crazed with it and, you know, obsessed with having to be in touch with every update there is, because we'd go crazy because there's just so much out there. But to do our part, you know, through our own social media, if you are connected to Facebook and Twitter, if you read blogs or you have a blog, I like to evangelize through the blogs and my website and through the social media, just by getting inspiration out there, you know, regularly. And it could be something to do with the liturgical year. It could be something to do with something I feel called to share that particular morning or afternoon, a prayer. It could be anything. I think through prayer and praying to the Holy Spirit and asking our Lord to guide us, you know, He gives us the words. And it's amazing. People will write back and say how much it really helped them to get through a particular hardship or difficulty or something like that. So I like to use the media. Also, I use the written word quite a bit, because God, I feel, keeps pushing me to write the books that I'm writing to help the moms in the trenches at home. I do a lot for mothers, for Catholic mothers and Christian mothers, and for families, and now lately for children as well, with this new book, my confirmation book, which is addressing the confirmands, you know, about to receive their confirmation, and trying to impress upon them what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are and how they can be active in their life and how they are, you know, a real member of the church, and how God wants them to really be a light to the world, even at their age. So it's important to evangelize at every age and stage of development. You know, we start very young with our children in the homes, and just pray to be an example through each day and through the work that we do.
Yeah. You spent, Donna Marie, so many years involved in your local parish in teaching the catechism, teaching the faith as a catechist. And that's been a lot of your formation. I think God really used so many of those years in the classroom, but also the classroom of the home is the most important classroom. And then it extends to the parish, to our Catholic schools, and in our communities, of sharing our faith. Nuggets that you have been able to bring from your years as a catechist in working with kids every day to what you do today, sharing with mothers, sharing with young women, sharing with mothers who are looking at their vocation and how they can improve it. What have you kind of learned from spending that time in the classroom that's really helped in the writing, in the retreats, in all the ways God is calling you to continue your service?
Well, there's just so much newness in teaching kids.
Yeah.
I just had my last class before the kids make their first Holy Communion yesterday. We just gave the kids the last class, and they'll be making their first communion in May. And they're just so beautiful all the time, you know, every age and stage. And you learn from them, too. You know, you're there to teach them the faith. And the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful things I ever heard from one of my students, and the way it happened was so sweet. Do you mind if I share that? Just like a couple of weeks ago, one of my students came up to me right in the middle of teaching. I was standing up in front of the class, and we have a sort of an informal class. I like to teach them, you know, to raise their hand when they have something to say or they want to ask a question. I have to keep them on task, but I'm not so regimented that I don't allow for something, you know, new to happen. So this one girl, she just stood up out of the blue and came right over to the front of the room and got right in my ear and whispered to me something. And I didn't know if she wanted me to share it, and so I asked her, and she said, "Oh, no, no." And she was actually asking me how she could believe more. She said, "I want to believe." And so later we talked again before, as she was leaving, and she goes, "I believe, but I want to believe more."
Mm.
And it just about made me cry because, and the more I thought about it, and when I told my husband that night at the dinner table, it brought tears to my eyes. Because if we could only be like those children, mm-hmm. you know, we want to. She just so sincerely was concerned about the fact that she didn't know if she believed enough and how would her faith grow. So I talked to her a little bit about her faith and how it was a gift and how it will grow and to keep praying and tell Jesus you love him. And you know, she's just this little almost eight-year-old girl. And so the beauty in the children wanting to know more and wanting to believe more. So that really touched my heart. But yes, we learn from our kids in the classroom, and we learn from our kids in the home. Mm-hmm. You know, God made that a nice little back and forth with our family. You know, in the give and take of the home and the forgiveness and using virtues, constantly forgiving and constantly loving and through our interactions, you know, just learning from them too. Where would we be without the kids in the home? What would we be doing? I once asked that in one of my books. It's just amazing that God guides us through our kids and that as we're guiding them. You know, they keep us on the straight and narrow too, believe it or not, because it's because of them that we're focused on raising them in the faith and being that first and foremost educator of our children.
Mm-hmm. You wrote a book a few years ago we've talked about so many times, The Domestic Church. And give us a little bit of a visualization of the domestic church, what we see as the Catholic Church looking at the true classroom, the true cell and the heart of the faith is within that family unit, within that family home.
Right. You know, we have the big, beautiful church, of course, the body of Christ, and we're all a part of that, and we're a very important member of that. But God also gives us our domestic churches, the church of the home. And as a Catholic family, even in a single parent home, it's still a domestic church. Mm-hmm. You know, it might not be the fault of one of the parents that the other parent isn't there. They may have passed on, or there may have been a sad divorce that couldn't have been helped. So there are many forms of domestic churches. The ideal, of course, is we want a mom and a dad to head the family, and we want them both on board with the faith formation of the children, but that's not always possible in these days. And so we don't want to think of anyone less of a domestic church, any family. But in that home, in the heart of the home, hopefully those parents are teaching the faith first and foremost and being very involved with what they're learning from other sources, you know, in the school, the classroom, faith formation, even in the faith formation at the parish, to be very involved in finding out what's being taught so that you make sure they're not being taught error, because that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to create an atmosphere of prayer in the home and to have sacred images all about in the home so that it draws the children to the sacred rather than the secular. You know, just even this morning when I stepped outside and listened to the birds singing and I saw my statue of the Blessed Mother facing the house, you know, from my little garden, and I just saw the statue and I started praying to Mary, and I just was saying, "Oh Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee," and then just talked to Mary for a minute, and then it dawned on me, oh, that statue actually got my mind right on Mary at that moment. And I pray all the time. I love to pray, and I'm speaking with our Lord and Mary and the saints and angels, and it's just my life. I love to do that. But I do know that by having these sacred images around, it does draw your attention to praying. And so if you have a house that's just barren of a crucifix or you know, holy pictures, you know, there are so many pretty homes, but they lack beautiful sacred images. And we should have a crucifix in every bedroom. We should have the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary images in our living room or our dining room, and just rosaries and holy water and the sacramentals of the church in our domestic churches. And that's going to help to form our children in the faith as much as our teaching does. So these things, you know, you'll look back at your childhood and you'll remember, oh yes, my grandmother, she had all of these things in her house, or, you know, I grew up with that, and it really becomes a part of you. So to just try to remember to have that atmosphere of prayer in your home and to teach the children right from the beginning about prayer and make it as natural as breathing to them, so it's not regimented and it's not something they're going to to recoil from, but something they're going to want to embrace because it's their life. It's you know, you pray at the dinner table, you pray together whenever you're together, and you make the time for prayer. So it becomes just a beautiful part of their life.
Yeah. I love that atmosphere of prayer. And wherever we are, if you have an office, if you have a workspace, a shop, an area where you do your crafts and your creative work, that should become a place where you look, and maybe your patron saint who's helping you for that particular gift is there to help with the creativity so that we remember that God is always present. It's true, God is always present, but we need some reminders around us. And in our home, we have that opportunity to develop such an atmosphere of heaven on earth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And if we don't do it, who will?
That's
right. Because you know what they're going to see outside the doors of the home. We can't keep them in a bubble. We can't keep them in the closet.
That's
and so
right.
they are going to go out in the world. And so we know what they're going to see out there and what comes into the house, even via the, you know, technology, which we have to keep really a close eye on when we're raising our family. But we know what they're going to face out there, so let's make our home a real domestic church that they can retreat to from the coldness of the world, and they can feel just very comfortable in.
So important. Donna Marie Cooper of Boyle with us. And the book is My Confirmation Book. I've got a link on our website that goes to the My Confirmation Book. And then you could go right to Donna Marie's website so you can kind of keep updated on her blog, some of the things she's writing about. And we're going to talk in the second half of the hour really about living that sacramental life and looking at the sacrament of confirmation. What is that sacrament and why is it so important? Where does it fit along the path as we continue to walk in our faith journey to Christ? And it's so wonderful to have Donna Marie with us this morning. I'm Dina Marie. You're in tune to Catholic Broadcasting Northwest. We're going to be back in just a couple of more moments to share about My Confirmation Book. Confirmation season is underway. It's been going on preparation time for many of you for the last few weeks, and we have just a few more weeks to go for many of you to have that opportunity to really celebrate the gift of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Stay with us as we continue to share with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, author of My Confirmation Book, on Catholic Radio, KBVM and KMME.
People of God, sing of His love.
celebrating our resurrected Lord on Catholic Broadcasting Northwest. Nice to have you joining us. A little sunshine here in the Pacific Northwest on a beautiful Easter day. We continue in the year of faith, in the season of Easter, with Pope Francis serving us and to share with us that message of service. And I love to see the images of Pope Francis on the internet of just the joy in his face, the message of mercy he's brought just over in the last couple of weeks. And it reminds us that we are a people of the risen Lord. And we have some work to do to continue to share that message of hope and of joy. With us by phone over in the state of Connecticut is Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. Her website is donnacooperoboyle.com. Wonderful information there. Her latest book, My Confirmation Book, from Paraclete Press. And it's such a beautiful book. It's in a hardcover, so it's one of those books you just kind of want to give away as a special treasured gift, but you want it to be opened and used and just kind of turn those pages and really to discover the gift of the sacraments in our life. And that's where I want to go, really, Donna Marie, is into the sacramental life. And we shared about the domestic church, but really we begin with that first sacrament of baptism. We're called by name, and as the church shares with us and gives us these beautiful gifts in the form of the sacraments, talk a little bit about the sacramental life and how we as Catholics really are called to live in the sacraments.
Right. Well, when we're baptized, either when we're tiny babes or later on in life, we are given such gifts, and the theological virtues, for one, faith, hope, and love, we're given to live throughout our lives. Sometimes we're not aware that we have these gifts, unless we're told by our parents, our first and foremost educators, or our faith formation teachers. We might forget that God has blessed us so much with that gift of baptism that initiates us into the church. And so it's good that we remind the children about the gifts that they received in their baptism, to let them know that when they receive their confirmation, they're going to also be called by name. And our Lord is calling them and calling them to be a soldier of Christ. And they even choose a name, for a saint's name, for their confirmation name. And it's another sacrament of initiation, which will even deepen the gifts that our Lord has given us already, and the Holy Spirit will bring us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the seven beautiful gifts that they will get in their confirmation. And I talk about that in my confirmation book.
Share a little bit of how this book came about, the opportunity to put these thoughts, these questions, these reflections on confirmation together. But what was the formation of my confirmation book?
Well, I thought it would be good to have a book I've seen some books for a baptism and for First Holy Communion, and I hadn't seen one that was what I had envisioned for a confirmand, for a young confirmation student who could be prepared. It's a keepsake book and a teaching book, both. So something that will help prepare them by learning a little bit more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but not only just learning about the gifts, but emphasizing to them that they are part of the church and that it's a wonderful gift, and it's even exciting to be a Catholic, and that they're a real member of the church, and that our Lord is expecting them to be a light to others. And so I tried to illustrate that throughout the book, how they can either imitate a saint, because I've used a couple of saints as illustrations, and also stories that are about kids their own age, doing just normal things and giving them something to think about, what would they do in that situation, how is the gift being used, and I give them some reflection points to consider at the end of each chapter, and a little prayer too, just a simple prayer to remind them, to continue to pray. And I challenge them at the beginning and the end of the book with, being that light to the world and a light to their friends, and, a true carrier of God's love in the world, and to start, right now within your own family, and to broaden your reach, if God allows your reach to be broadened throughout the community and neighborhood, there's where you will use your gifts as well. So it's just I wanted to have a book that would encourage and affirm them in their faith, and to give them some tools to learn more about the gifts and to have a keepsake that they can just, you know, they even can write in the beginning of the book who their godparents are and the date of the confirmation and just, you know, I think even the date of their baptism might be on there. I have to take a look. Just to record special things about being a member of the church and who the book was given to them by, you know, that type of thing. So yeah. It's a keepsake and a teaching book as well.
Yeah. For godparents, for parents, and then for the confirmation young men and women, how would you, some ways that you really envision this book being used in the home? You know, if a young person's going to be using this book and having that interaction with some of their faith formers, number one, their parents and those closest to them and their immediate family, but those that are helping to form them in the faith, how can you see that as like that educational tool that could be used throughout the season of Easter into the summertime, that they could really practically use this book?
Well, you can choose a night per week or on the Sunday or a couple of times per week that you want to, right at the dinner table, even after you say your grace and you say a little prayer together. You can have your meal, and then while everyone's gathered together, you can take out the book and go chapter by chapter and talk about the gift, that particular gift of the Holy Spirit, and then ask the children their thoughts on, you know, what they would do in that situation, talk about the reflection questions. You know, for instance, at the end of this chapter, which is called I Am a Member of the Church, the very first chapter, at the end it says, can you take some time to think about how Jesus is calling you to be a light to the world? And what can you do today to be a light to others? So get the conversation going with the kids at the table or after dinner. You know, you want to sit together in the living room or something like that. So choose a time and discuss the faith in that way, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the confirmation that might be approaching whoever is going to receive, or even afterward to remind them of the gifts. A couple of adults have told me recently that the book was a reminder to them of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that they had forgotten about, exactly what the gifts were were all about.
Well, and you have them listed here, so that's a help for us as well. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. And so each of the chapters, just a wonderful meditation. So it does, it kind of allows a family, a small community to come together and to share and reflect and to really give that young person an opportunity to think, to pray, something for them to really carry with them in this preparation, because it is such a, it's a beautiful gift. Again, that gift that is to be nurtured along the way.
Right, because sometimes I think kids are kind of whisked through the sacrament, or all the sacraments really, and so they don't really grasp what the full meaning is to be confirmed. And if you take the time to go over it and to read to them or read with them about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and give them that encouragement and, you know, and challenge them to be that light to others and to use the gifts and the virtues and to, you know, not partake in the sinful pastimes of the culture or the, even just hanging out at the mall where they can get in trouble or something like that with other kids that might be there to shop for immodest clothing or whatever they're there for. So it's a good book to teach them the faith and to get them thinking about their lives and their place in society and their place in the church and how they can live their life such a way that they can be a really good example to others. Whether it's going to the mall or to the movies. I mean, I do talk about that in this book, too, about, you know, what can you do if your friends are going to go to a movie that's not appropriate and or go to the mall and to do things that aren't appropriate and things like that, because they're at that age where there's a lot of temptation to partake in the things that other kids are doing. But how can they be different? How can they set the example? And how can they be prayerful?
Yeah.
And it's tough culture. It's a very tough culture we live in. But, you know, we have to give the kids the tools and the time, give them the time to sit down and talk with them about it and hopefully use this book and sit down and read it together and talk about these kinds of things.
Yeah. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle with us, and the book is my confirmation book from Paraclete Press. You mentioned in there, and there is an opportunity to write in, the confirmation day, the baptism day, and those that are godparents. Let's share a little bit about the role of a godparent, and maybe it was a little bit more formal and traditional, and everybody knew what a godparent was a couple of decades ago, and maybe we're not as clear of the role, the participation, how godparents can be involved and stay involved in this young person's life through their faith journey. What would you see as some key components of a godparent's role in the lives of that young person?
Well, to be connected with that person throughout their life, not to just show up for the baptism, to be their godparent, mm-hmm. and to just go later and have a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Being a godparent is a lot more than the ceremony. It's to really be committed to that person, that human being, you know, that little baby at that time, but that person that's going to grow up, and to be that, you know, that witness of faith to him or her. So not to just take it lightly, but to, in the olden days, it used to be that the godparents actually would fill in for the parents if they died.
Mm-hmm.
They would, right? They had some sort of commitment to actually caring for the child, too. This was quite some time ago. Now, of course, that's not an obligation or a responsibility, but it you do take on the responsibility of being a godparent, you know, someone who is going to pray for that child and to have a wonderful example of a Catholic witness to that child. So to really be involved in their life throughout the sacraments, you know, through when they receive their sacraments later on, be there for them, be in touch with them, and let them know that they can also be in touch with you.
Right, right. It's so important. You know, we mentioned we're called by name, and for baptism, usually the parents might have a particular name that they have the child baptized with. But as a young person, they can think about the lives of the saints and a name that they'd like to be confirmed in. Share a little bit about that process. You're working with young people. How is the dialogue about talking about names, confirmation names, saints' names? What is some of the fun dialogue that we can really start to teach with this part of choosing a name for confirmation?
Well, I think it all starts with getting them interested in learning about the lives of the saints. I know the saints were very instrumental in my life when I was young, and I was so interested in learning about them. So you have to, you know, make it more interesting for the kids, because they have so many other things that are competing with, you know, learning about the saints. They have all of their video games and all kinds of crazy stories and books and things like that that they see as well, and comics and all kinds of things. So let them see how interesting and fascinating and exciting the lives of the saints are. You know, read to them as a parent. Take the time and maybe choose a saint. Let the kids choose a saint, and just even at the dinner table, I like to use the dinner table as a teaching place, mm-hmm. because you have your captive audience, and you can mention a couple little things. Mm-hmm. Hey, did you know Saint Bernadette did this or that, or you know, did you know about this saint, and you know, and just mention even if it's just a few lines to pique their interest, and then do some research. Get the book out of the library or the church library, or hopefully you have some on your bookshelf at home. Do a Google search, you know, look up some real neat things about the saint, and then talk to the kids about it. Challenge them to do some research, and just teach the kids about the saints, and then because they need to know who they're about the saint that they're going to be choosing for their name, that their confirmation name, so they should know about them. And I think the faith formation programs encourage them to do a saints project. You know, most places, most parishes will do that. And so they do some research on their own. But I'm talking about from when they're real little, not just waiting till they're of confirmation age. And just let the saints be part of your domestic church. You might have their images around the house. You might have a statue of St. Joseph or the Holy Family someplace, or even St. Padre Pio, or, you know, a lot of the saints, you may have a picture or a statue, and you could bring that to the dinner table one night and say, we're going to talk about St. Padre Pio. And you'll tell them a couple of things about him. Or the next, you know, couple of days, you might talk about Saint Bernadette. Or, you know, so just make it fun and bring the saints to the table. Bring the saints to your living room and talk to the kids. Bring them to your kids' lives, you know, and so that they can be part of their upbringing. And so they'll be very natural to them, you know, and they'll feel comfortable to call upon them for intercession. Later on in life, you know, we're calling on the saints. I'm sure you too, mm-hmm. Dina Marie, are calling on them all the time.
So. All the time.
Yes, and they're our friends in the wonderful big communion of saints. So it's just something we can teach our kids right from the beginning. And so when it's time to make their confirmation, it will be easy for them to choose their saint's name because it's probably someone they fell in love with as a child, mm-hmm. you know, and they'll choose that name.
Yeah. So beautiful. My confirmation book is the name of the book, Paraclete Press, and DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com is her website. You can go directly to Paraclete for the book to order. You can also order on Donna's website as well. I'd encourage you to check that out because there's so many beautiful books. And again, we didn't have time to talk much, but I think we're going to talk about it. Our next time is Rooted in Love on the Call as Catholic Women, because again, God has impressed upon your heart this ministry of really reaching out to women, especially mothers, those that are raising children in that vocation of holy matrimony. This has become such a core. I think that's the heart of our Blessed Mother working in your life.
Yeah.
And then it expands. Just give us a little sense of the book, Rooted in Love, and the core focus of what you wanted to share in this book.
Sure. Rooted in Love, Our Calling as Catholic Women, is a book that really speaks to the heart of all Catholic women, so it could be for single, married, mother, or consecrated religious. And it's broken up into, I think it's five parts. And the first part is Discovering Myself in Christ. Part two is Christ is My Strength. Part three is Christ is My Life. Part four is Meeting Christ in Others. And part five is Christ is My Joy. So throughout those five parts of the book, I tell a lot of stories. I begin with baptism, so that most important sacrament to initiate us into the church. And I go from there, and I use a lot of personal stories in this book to illustrate, you know, how to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, virtues, the works of mercy. And I feel that all of these things are part of a woman's life, you know, that a Catholic woman or a Christian woman's life. I do talk about struggles, and I do reveal a lot of personal struggles in here in one of the chapters that some people might be surprised to see, which I think is important because I want to let women know that, yes, I do know what that feels like. I do know that pain as well. And you know, you're gonna make it. You're gonna be okay. And so, we need to share our joy, and we need to share our challenges, and we need to share our lives so that we can help, you know, our sisters along the way. So this is what I'm trying to do in this book, is to help, you know, all Catholic women, in hopes that, you know, by sharing a part of me, and what our Lord is doing in my life, not to draw attention to me, but to say yes, I too understand, and I am with you, and I love you, and, you know, let's do this together. So basically, in a nutshell, that's kind of what I'm trying to do, is to show how our Lord is just always by our side, and he's always been there since the beginning. And maybe we haven't seen him all the way through because we weren't looking, or we didn't meet him at the well of the living water all the time. Well, we were afraid to get there, and we chose to get there. Well, that woman who chose to get there later in the day at noon, mm-hmm. so she wouldn't be discovered by the others. But look what happened when our Lord offered her the living water, and that's what he offers to us constantly. And I talk about the Blessed Mother and the saints and you know, just praying and trying to develop the virtues in our lives and how it can just really, really impact others along the way, and how our Lord is, you know, constantly calling to us, and that even if we're not looking for him, you know, he's constantly looking for us. And what a beautiful gift that we have, that our Lord loves us that much, that he stoops down to find us right in the midst of what we're doing, you know, and just in our busy lives, our Lord is still looking to strike up that conversation with us. So It's just a book that hopefully will uplift the hearts of women, and that will help affirm them in their God-given dignity. You know, where I do quote from Mulieris Dignitatum in a lot of the church documents, and I weave the catechism in, and just lots of wonderful church teaching to put it all at the woman's fingertips so she can just really be affirmed in her faith.
Yeah. Rooted in Love, Our Calling as Catholic Women, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, thanks to Ave Maria Press. They've just done a wonderful job to bring these books to life. And I love the image on the front. It kind of reminds me of the season we're in, spring, because there's these beautiful little flowers that we see on the front of the cover. And so again, the blossoming of new life. That is Jesus Christ. He is new life. He is new life in us.
Amen.
And that's what we celebrate in the season of the resurrection. We just have a couple moments to wrap it up. And I want to invite you to share a story, any story that comes to your heart on Blessed Mother Teresa. And I think we always have an opportunity to talk a little bit because you've been blessed to have some time to spend with her and to be part of the sisters and in the community and learning about them and to spend some time with Mother Teresa in her life and what example she's given us. But I thought I'd just invite you to help us close this time to share the witness of her life to you in one way or the other.
Okay, thank you, Dina Marie. Well, Mother Teresa was so deeply rooted in prayer, and she knew that she had to depend on Jesus for everything. She was so close to the Blessed Mother, she kept company with her through her rosaries and her many, many prayers and memoraries. And she trusted totally in Jesus to do everything that needed to be done through her. And so she wasn't just a social worker, which she said, we're not social workers. You know, which social workers are wonderful, of course, but since she was a religious nun, she needed to have a firm foundation in the sacraments, in the Eucharist, in prayer. And so she started with Mass, and she made sure she got an adoration, an hour worth of adoration at least, in some time during the day. But then she was able to go out and take care of the broken bodies of the poor because of the broken bread that she had received earlier, Jesus, in her heart, in her soul. And she firmly believed and lived by that gospel of Matthew, that whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you do for me. And she saw Jesus in everyone that she took care of, and she knew that she was serving him. So her example of what she did was amazing. And I think the powerful example is it was one by one by one. It wasn't like she got up on the rooftops and shouted the gospel message. She lived it profoundly in picking out maggots one by one out of someone she had picked up from the gutter, or hugging a little orphan child, or even greeting me, a suburban housewife. So every person to her was Jesus, and she just loved Jesus within everyone. And as I'm telling you this little story, I'm looking at a picture. I didn't even know I was looking at it, of her holding, I'm holding my son Joseph in my arms, and she's got his little hand in her hand. She's holding onto his arm, and he's got his head tilted and just looking right into her eyes, and she's just holding on to him. And that moment of that encounter of her just looking right into his eyes and just seeing Jesus within this little baby. And she taught us that we don't have to run off to the other side of the world to find the poor, that they're right with us. They could be right in our own homes. There could be someone that's feeling a little neglected, and we need to give them a little more love. It could be our neighbor, our lonely neighbor. It could be a relative. So we don't need to run to Calcutta, but we need to pray that we can see Jesus in everyone. And the people that God surrounds us with, that's our Calcutta. Those are the people that we need to evangelize to and minister to, but with love, not with preaching, but with love.
Yeah, with love. Blessed Mother Teresa, pray for us.
Amen.
Amen. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, thank you so much. It's just always a delight to
catch
you and to spend some time. We're going to encourage those who view EWTN to keep watching for a new series that's going to be released very soon. You're going to be taping it in the next couple of weeks. So we'll pray that God will continue to provide you the endurance and the strength to do exactly His will.
Thank you.
Amen.
I'm so appreciative.
Oh, would you please help us close with a prayer?
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, be with us and help us and bless us. Help us to see you within everyone around us. Blessed Mother Mary, please pray for us. And all of the angels and saints, please pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you so much. God's blessings on you and your family this Easter season. Look forward to talking with you again, Donna.
You too, Dina right. Marie. God bless
Take
you.
Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com is her website. My confirmation book and Rooted in Love, Our Calling as Catholic Women, and many other books. Some of them we mentioned here today, including the one Mother Teresa and Me. As we come to a close today, I will remember this from the book of Zechariah. See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. Hosanna, save us, Lord. We need your gentle love. And may you continue to experience the gentle love and the merciful love of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. I'm Dina Marie, your host of In Person on Catholic Broadcasting Northwest.